Advent. How do we celebrate the four Sundays of Advent? What do we do for St. Nicholas Day, for the Immaculate Conception, for Gaudete Sunday, for Indian food on the feast of St. Thomas of India, Christmas Eve, all these topics. I'm joined today with my wife, Joy Marshall, and we're going to talk about Advent and Christmas devotions, traditions, the way we do things, some recommendations. And if we have a little bit of time left over towards the end, maybe we'll take some Q&A, some question and answer. So we'll begin with our prayer in Latin. We'll do the Our Father, and then we'll jump into it. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui est in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in cielo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Saint Nicholas, pray for us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Well, I'm here with Joy. Joy, how are you?
I'm good.
It's kind of weird to say that because we've been hanging out all morning.
I know. Well, you know, we're good, everybody.
We're good. Last year we did a show on, what did we do? Hallow's Eve.
That last year or the year before?
No, that was last year.
Okay.
We did Hallow's Eve, and people were asking questions about Advent and traditions, and a lot of people are new to Catholicism or new to traditional Catholicism, and there are some differences in the calendar, the liturgical calendar, in the traditional Latin Mass. Like St. Thomas is a big one for us, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So we just want to talk about how you can order your home during this time of year. For us, you know, before we ran the video here, Joy was saying that Advent has always been a time of regrouping as a family and kind of getting our priorities right again.
Kind of restarting our routine a little bit because we do a little bit more purposeful evening devotions, more purposeful days of celebration and fasting. So, yeah, it's a good reboot.
So before we do that, you want to talk about Thanksgiving at all? We're in America. We do Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we do Thanksgiving.
We have a lot of turkey. How many turkeys did we have last year?
We do the traditional with turkey, dressing, all of that. I know some people are more into margaritas and fajitas on Thanksgiving.
Don't do that. Some people say, well, I don't like turkey, so we're going to have margaritas and fajitas. It's like, no.
I'm just teasing. You know who you are.
Yeah, do that on Our Lady Guadalupe. We'll talk about that. For Thanksgiving, we have turkey. How many turkeys we have last year? I was trying to think.
Yeah, I think we had four because Popeyes had a new turkey come out. We had to try that.
Yeah, we did
the
Popeyes.
As well as the smoked turkey. We always get a smoked turkey. And then a regular roasted. Your dad is always good at brining and roasting a pretty amazing turkey breast. He mostly does the breast, not like a full turkey. That's easier, which I think I need to start doing because I don't always execute a big turkey well.
Right.
But anyway, sometimes we're here. Usually we're home and have family over. But sometimes we're seeing other families, so it's good to...
Yep.
It's actually easier than Christmas to get together with a lot of family at Thanksgiving. So I think that's the American way. You go visit everybody and you stay home at Christmas.
Yep. So. My father, I don't know if I've ever talked about this before, my dad, who is the other Dr. Marshall, has a PhD in meat science. And he's incredible. In the meat industry, he's pretty famous and well known.
And some very good meals around here.
Yes, I grew up raised on good meat, and he has a whole system of brining the turkey, which is
a classic tradition, especially I think New Englanders, which he is from the New.
And he makes the best brown gravy, which you've learned how to make.
Yes, he does.
So,
yeah. Anyway,
that's Thanksgiving. So then Thanksgiving always quickly, you know, turns into Advent. And as you know, Advent is a penitential season. It goes back a long time. We see it in, I think, the 400s and the 500s. We start seeing a fasting period, a time of preparation, moving into the feast of Christmas. And yes, we do believe that our Lord Jesus Christ was born on December 25th. You can read more about that in my book, Eternal City. And there's also a shorter book, which is no longer in print. I'll probably reprint next year, called God's Birthday, Defending the Birthday of Christ on the 25th. So we really believe this is the real birthday of Jesus. And so did the early church fathers. And I found a quote that I was going to share. It's actually not a quote, but it goes back to Gregory of Tours. So this is in the 5th century, so the 400s. And he said that during Advent, Catholics fasted 3 times per week, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And this fast prohibited the following: meat, poultry, eggs, dairy products, cheese, fish, oil, and wine. The exception was oil and wine were allowed on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the 4 other days. And then fish was allowed on Saturday, Sunday. So this was the early church practice. We see this being observed even in the time of Charlemagne, so around 800. By around the year 1200, so we're getting into the era of St. Francis of Assisi, St. Dominic, St. Thomas Aquinas, it's fallen into disuse. People aren't doing it. However, St. Louis, the king, St. Louis the Ninth, he was known for keeping the old school strict Advent fast, the one that I just described. But that was kind of unique even in the 1200s. So here we are in 2019, nobody does
anything. Actually like a month long of partying for most people. Right. And so it's definitely a recalibration for us new Catholics. Well, even I think most cradle Catholics probably didn't, that I've known, celebrate Advent as the penitential season. So, and it's good to be balanced though. Sometimes you have to kind of spread things out because you do want to do an adequate job like decorating. But I mean, because it's so fun, I'm a decorator. I like to do all that, but, people really can get down on you if you do too much before, too early. But at the same time, it's also good to kind of bulk back the culture and, hold off a little bit, remind the kids and remind the family the purpose, and get ready for it. So
one of the things that you do really well, Joy, is you in December, Thanksgiving, December, we decorate the home, but you decorate it a little bit more winter.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We kind of build up towards the actual Christmas.
Yeah. There's winter stuff. and then there's Christmas. Right. Yeah. And so, I think, when we put out our nativity scene, we don't have the baby Jesus in it. Mm-hmm. And then I guess we could jump and do the whole Advent before we do the Saints' Days.
Yeah, because that's the whole, we punctuate how we build up to the celebration of Christmas through the special days coming up in Advent. So we could just jump into the calendar.
Yeah, so our 4 Sundays of Advent are special days. Mm-hmm. But all during Advent, we have this really beautiful Advent wreath that Joy has designed. It's like the base is sort of like, what is it?
Well, it's really just an iron candelabra holding pillars.
Big and candles.
We tend to burn it a lot if we do Advent devotion every night. And so those little ones are fine if you do it once a week, but you'll be going through lots of them if you light it every night. So we do pillars that last the whole year or the whole season.
And for the men out there, pillars are like candles that are
They're like a 3-inch round candle. And so it's a short iron candelabra that I wrap in garland and,
And it's what's great about it is it has pedestals, on the 4 corners that hold the big pillars. So we have a violet, rose, violet. And then there's one that's a little bit taller in the middle that takes a white pillar.
Yep. It's
like, and then Joy ties like ribbons around it and it looks really nice.
Thanks, Dave.
And, this is the other cool thing is she has this crown, like the crown of Jesus.
That was just one of those things someone gave us, like on a gift. And then it's one of those fun things you're like, I think that'll fit on that candle,
So it fits perfectly on the white pillar candle.
Yeah.
So all during Advent, that candle is covered with the crown of Jesus. And then on Christmas, we take that crown off and then we say the light of Christ. One of the youngest kid lights it and says the light of Christ. So the Advent wreath is a big part of it. Now, some people, especially their tradition, like Advent wreath, that's Protestant. That's Lutheran. They don't like that. So maybe we should talk about that. So Advent itself, of course, is Catholic. It goes back at least to the 400s, if not earlier. And there's some differences on the numbering. I think, I don't have the notes in front of me, but I think in the time of Gregory the Great, There were 5 Sundays in Advent, but it got shortened to 4. And so since it's a penitential season, it's violet, just like Lent. But the middle Sunday, the third Sunday, means you're almost halfway there. It's called Gaudete, which is from the introit of the Mass, rejoice. And that's a day of more celebration and levity. So this was always kept in the churches. You had the 4 Sundays and the rose-colored Gaudete. What happened is in Germany, there was this custom of keeping track of these at home with candles. And I guess in modern times, you can get rose-colored candles and purple candles. You probably couldn't get a purple candle in 1300.
Yeah, they probably just had normal beeswax or whatever.
So, you know, once there's more modern technology, these things come about. And so people were keeping them at home. And so I think it is true that the Advent wreath began in Lutheran homes. But the idea of keeping track in the...
It's a good way just to kind of pace yourself through.
Yeah, at home. Yeah. At home. I mean, yeah, you see it at church, but it's just a way to bring it home and let your kids see it. So I don't think, like, you know, there's not like a statue of Martin Luther in the middle of it. It's basically just the liturgical season.
Right. The fact that it's liturgical at all, like for most Americans that were raised Baptist or like Church of Christ that have so little traditions, it seems so very like it's like a step into traditional practice to have an Advent wreath. So,
right.
You know, anyhow, so that's like my upbringing. We didn't do, I mean, we put up a tree after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but you were raised Baptist.
Yeah, we didn't have a whole lot of those kind of traditions. And so we've definitely tried to integrate as many as possible. Yeah. Just to remind the kids, it's a spiritual religious time. It's not a Santa Claus gifts party time. So every way you can do that, I think it's good.
Yep. Now, we pray the rosary every evening with the family, but we started doing it long ago, I'm guessing around 2010 or 11?
No, I was going to say 9 or 10, yeah.
9 or 10. We started in Advent. Mm-hmm. Joe and I said, okay, kids, we're going to pray the rosary every night. And we're starting the first Sunday of Advent. Mm-hmm. And we had the Advent wreath. And then we said, you can light it. We went around in turns lighting it, which is a big deal for little kids.
Yeah.
And then whoever was the best at the rosary, didn't wiggle, prayed the prayers, they could take the little snuffer and snuff the Advent candles at the end of the rosary.
People are asking to see. Can you pick? Is there any way to show them that or no?
Oh, yeah. They want to see?
Okay. People are asking on the chat.
Sure. Let me. People want to see the Advent wreaths.
It's kind of not very well shown right there, actually.
This is. Well, I'm thinking if I can throw it to the computer. You airdrop it? Here.
Yeah.
You work on that while I explain this.
Okay.
Take a screenshot.
Okay.
And then cut it down and then airdrop it to the computer and I'll throw it in.
Okay.
Oh, we're getting a picture of our Advent wreath. So we would tell the kids, whoever's the best can snuff the candle. And this became a huge deal for our little kids. This was 10 years ago. And kids love fire. You need to understand this. Whether they're little boys or little girls. And for some reason, you could say, would you like a candy bar or would you like to snuff this candle? For them, snuffing the candle, they love it. They just absolutely love it. So this is what kind of got us into praying the rosary as a family every night during Advent. And then once Christmas happened and then New Year's and then Epiphany and Lent on it, we just kept praying the rosary. And that's just been the family custom. So if you don't do a family rosary, our challenge to you would be this Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, get the Advent wreath. And then I, as the father, usually read a passage from the Old Testament, and I kind of just move my way through. We used to do the Jesse tree.
Yes, yeah.
But as the kids have gotten older, we've kind of not.
Well, it gets kind of long. Kids are like, I have homework. I have, you know, they're getting back from activities. But also, I made a bunch of those little embroidered Jesse tree ornaments. I didn't cut it down.
That's okay.
And a couple of them got lost. But yeah, it was kind of lengthy in time, but it's a beautiful thing to do as well. That
tell
way
people
go through the historical background for why Jesus, why at this time, why, you know, what in the progression of Christ's redemption of the world and his revelation to humankind, why Jesus. And so it really takes you through the Old Testament. So it's a good succinct, expanse of the Old Testament, and then why you end up at Luke with the birth of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a beautiful.
If you have little kids, you can make the Jesse tree ornaments. You did them with what, cross stitch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can do them with like felt or even just pictures colored, there's lots of different ways, but.
And you have like a little tree and you hang them on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the genealogical tree of our Lord Jesus through Our Lady, all the way up through King David to Jesse in the Old Testament. That's why it's called the Jesse tree. Okay, so I got the picture here.
So quick.
I know. So here, everybody's asking, show us what the... Here we go. Boom. That's it right there. So you can see there's like an iron stand, and you can see the four...
It's looking a little bedraggled. That was several years
ago. The crown's kind of cut off here.
Man. I know. That was actually just an Instagram post I posted years ago. It wasn't real... meant to just show the wreath, so it's not the best, but anyway.
So we got a little JMJ flair right there, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and yeah, you can see there's the three violet and then the pink rose one, and then you can't really see the crown is cut off the top, but you can see how it's going over the white candle, which is we call the Christ candle. That's the Christmas candle. So there's five candles, and the middle one is the pink one. That's the rose one. So I guess I'll just shrink it and leave it on the screen.
Okay.
There you go, people. Look at it. Take notes. There we go. That's the. So those are the four Sundays. Now, before we get to the saints, we have a little bit of a controversy in our marriage over the Christmas tree in itself.
Maybe because we
were both raised that the Christmas Thanksgiving and then the next day you put the Christmas tree up.
Pretty much.
So in America, Thanksgiving is the last Thursday in November. So basically that Friday or that weekend, you pull the tree, you either buy a tree or you pull it out of the attic and you spend all weekend decorating it and listening to Christmas music.
Because that kicks off the Christmas season. Yeah.
Yes, the Christmas consumer season. So when we became, when we were Episcopalian, because we kept Advent as Episcopalians, that was the debate. When are we going to put the tree up? And then as Catholics, and then as you get even more tratty as a Catholic, people kind of like compete, like, well, we don't put our Christmas tree up until 11:55 on December 24th. That's like the most hardcore.
After Vigil Mass.
Yeah. Right. So our compromise in our family is we have winter decorations. Joy's always decorating. Everything looks very nice. And then on Gaudete Sunday is when we put the tree up.
We feel like that's a liturgical reprieve of like, okay, we're going to have a little party now. We actually do have our party then. Mm-hmm. And then pull out the tree. Let's start making it look like a celebration here. So
yeah, not full out.
Not completely full out, but still. Because otherwise you're getting, like, there's so many events that get close to Christmas as a family. Mm-hmm. You're going to things, concerts, family outings, whatnot. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to, I don't want to be pulling my hair out. Like, I'm just not even going to put the tree up.
Right.
We have had a couple years where I've had so many little babies. I let the twins put the tree up back in the day, and they're wonderful help.
Ornaments are a little low.
And they're wonderful to, they help out. They love that kind of thing. So you want to make it fun, not like stressed and frustrating. Mm-hmm. So we decided, give us some space of a couple weeks before Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just 10 days before Christmas, but Gaudete is a fun time. I think last year we decorated gingerbread.
Mm-hmm.
People will be off on my case
on the rose
over
candle.
That.
So that's what we do. The Gaudete is the rose candle.
Yeah, the rose candle. So the third Sunday, that's sort of, and then, for us here in Texas or in the United States, the Gaudete is usually pretty close. It's usually just a few days after Our Lady Guadalupe.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal here as well. Actually, before we get to
we've
that.
We actually had our Lady Guadalupe on our Gaudete party.
We have, yes.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. So, but before we get to December 12th, we've got to back up.
Yes, yes.
So people don't know this, but in the Catholic tradition, the Old Testament prophets are saints. And we see a lot of their feast days in Advent because the prophets are the ones foretelling the birth and coming of Christ. Advent means coming, Adventus. So on December 1st is Nahum the prophet. On December 2nd is Habakkuk the prophet. On December 3rd is Zephaniah the prophet. Let's see, what else do we see? On December 16th is Haggai the prophet. December 17th, Daniel and the three young men, also prophets. So you kind of have an Old Testament thing happening here, which I think is really cool. But the first big day for our family is December 6th. Mm-hmm. That's the Feast of St. Nicholas. And in our family, we have a nice icon. It's about this big of St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
And we hang up that icon. This is also, I think, when we start kind of doing some winter decor. December 6th is kind of when we start getting some things out. Well,
because usually with St. Nicholas, we hang up stockings.
Yes, the night before.
Things like that. Every year we get a new set of jammies as a family.
Yeah, so the kids, we tell them, look, Santa's going to come make a pit stop, check on y'all, see how y'all are doing. St. Nicholas is going to come. We talk about who St. Nicholas is. He's the patron of children. Tell the stories of who St. Nicholas was. I have some videos on St. Nicholas, the historical St. Nicholas, on this channel if you want to watch those, including Nicholas punching Arius in the face, how Arius died, etc. It's great, great stories. There's little kid stories, and then there's teenage adult stories.
Yeah,
they're all fun.
It grounds the kids in who St. Nicholas is. And it's a time to have his day. And then, so yeah, but then we make it, you know, fun for the kids. They get new jammies. We hang up the stockings the next day in the morning, or on St. Nicholas Day, I guess.
We usually hang them up on the
night before.
The night of the 5th.
Right.
The kids put them out on the 5th.
Yeah.
And then on the morning of the 6th, usually if they're, you know, going to school or whatever, there's something for them.
Yeah, there's a little candy or something like that in it.
Candy or a little toy. Sometimes if the kids need shoes, like this time of year, kids need shoes.
Usually it's like, okay, they need another pair of winter shoes for the rest of the year, either boots or tennis shoes or something. That some years we do that, not always,
yeah.
But we give everyone a...
Last year, everybody got shoes.
Everybody got a needed pair of shoes.
And then we also, every year, since we've been married, they get a new pair of pajamas. Mm-hmm. Because in Texas, it's not really cold, you know, but once it gets to December, then the kids start needing
like
some
pajamas.
And they're growing.
Yeah, and they usually have grown out, you know, the years before. So everyone gets a new set of jammies, whether some years we coordinate cute, most years we don't.
Yeah. Even I get a pair of jammies.
But they all look forward to it. You know, These are the things they look forward to.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that's St. Nicholas Day.
It's a really sweet time, but not overblown, you know, till Advent.
Yeah. Because St. Nicholas, you know, the story is he was at the Council of Nicaea, 325, and then he punched Arius because Arius said that Christ our Lord is a creature, not God himself. And so I think it's kind of cool that Nicholas is at the beginning of the Advent season because it reminds us Christ our Lord is God. He's the Son of God. That's the whole point of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way to teach children that this is the reason for the season. St. Nicholas is not only the patron saint of little children and gift giving, but he's also a patron saint against the heresy of Arianism. So it's important.
Mm-hmm. Important to know your faith and be generous and ready to help those in need and do all those
mercy
virtues. Yeah,
gift giving. So so that's December 6th. And then just 2 days later, we have December 8th, which is the Immaculate Conception. It's a holy day of obligation. And we go to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's a school day. We might have to miss the morning of school and then go late.
Skip school.
Yeah.
If it's not off. And then in history past, we've made a white cake with white icing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's white on the outside, white on the inside, like Our Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you put a statue on top of the cake.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If the cake doesn't seem adequately decorated for the occasion.
Right, the statue.
Add a statue.
Yeah. Get a nice statue of Our Lady. Yeah. So, and then, the kids love that.
Yeah.
Especially when they're little kids. I thought that was so cool.
Sure. Like the beautiful thing about being Catholic is with the saints and feast days, there's a party every month, extra. And then this month there's just extra
Yes.
Parties. But the same, so that's why it's so hard to then make it a penitential season.
Right.
But yeah, it's got to be both.
Yeah. So the way it's going is so far, in case you're just coming in, every night during Advent, we light the candles on the Advent wreath. I read the scripture. We pray the rosary together. And then sometimes we sing a hymn. It's going well.
We usually do O Come Emmanuel, mm-hmm. at least one verse a night, and then kind of build up on that.
And just keep doing O Come Emmanuel. And the kids get into that, little kids like that. Mm-hmm. They get kind of silly sometimes singing mm-hmm. O Come Emmanuel. And then if it's, you know, St. Nicholas, that brings even more fun on the December 5th. And then December 8th, there's the, you know, white cake and white ice cream or whatever, just to remind the kids of who Our Lady is, what the Immaculate Conception is. So that's December 8th. Did I forget anything?
No,
nope.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, lucky where
December 12th gets us to Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I love Our Lady of Guadalupe. She's the patron of the new St. Thomas Institute. I've been to Guadalupe twice. You've been once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great feast, especially here in Texas, because Mexican food, which is my favorite kind of food.
Well, Mexican food. Also, we just have so many Mexican influences.
Yes.
You know, it's easy for us to go and visit Our Lady Guadalupe in Mexico City. I think as being so close to where she appeared, we feel like she came to evangelize our people as well. I mean, not like the Aztecs, but, you know, we definitely benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to us.
Yeah, it's big pro-life season. And then we, at University of Dallas, where I got my doctorate, they have put in a really nice statue shrine to Our Lady Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
And so
some years we've like made a little visit for that, just to, again, remind the kids as well as just show proper devotion. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, there's only so many approved Marian apparitions. This is one of them. And most of them are over in Europe. And this one's ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great. And so it's very popular here in Texas. The Hispanics make tamales.
Yes, we get tamales out, some chili with those tamales, mm-hmm. All of that. So yeah, we always order tamales.
Tell people what tamales are in case they're from like some weird place like Boston.
Yeah, we've never made tamales because I feel like it's one of those things that you have to have had a grandmother from Mexico or, you know, teach you in the way and the art. So, I mean, they put like a spiced meat of, you know, either a chicken verde or a pork or a beef and then wrap it in what do you call that? Not masa, but like cornmeal.
Corn.
And then they put it.
Ground corn.
Ground corn. And then they wrap that into a corn husk and it steams into a little like burrito type thing. And yeah, I mean, every specialty shop has some that they have gotten from some wonderful cooks. Or if you're really lucky, you can find somebody who makes them from our kitchen and sells them at this time of year. So that's what we always try to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you want to get real Mexican grandmother tamales.
Yes. Yeah.
And they come in two. For us, Gringos, we only know two flavors. There's the chicken.
Well, there's pork, chicken, and beef.
Oh, yeah, the three.
Three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pork, chicken, and beef.
And then, I mean, there is
bean. I like them all.
There is bean and cheese, but why would you have bean and cheese when you have pork and beef?
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah.
Oh, you never buy them.
No.
So that's a big deal, is the tamales. And then, you know, on Our Lady Guadalupe, when we have our party, in years past, we've had a big party where we have Mexican food and it's always on Gaudete. And we make a big old thing of margaritas.
Mm-hmm.
And just have fun, celebrate.
Yeah.
Our Lady Guadalupe, shoot our pistoles in the sky.
We don't actually do that.
Maybe this year. So yeah, it's fun and the kids get in on it. And yeah, it's a great tradition. So even if you live in Asia or Africa, get in on Our Lady Guadalupe. Get some tortilla chips at least and some salsa.
Yeah, if you can have a devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes across the seas, you can have a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I mean, this is the mercy of God shown to mm-hmm. an indigenous people and to all of us in a way. So,
to two continents.
I mean, what a grace. Mm-hmm. So,
you don't need Pacha idols. You need Our Lady Guadalupe.
Yes, always. Yeah. And she's so distinct. You can always see her. And I always somehow feel like I can see her in the sky when you have the moon just right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's always there.
Speaking of Pachas, we had Alexander Chiguo and his wife with us.
Yeah, last weekend already.
Staying just down the outside that door. And we served them some tamales.
Yes.
And some Texas chili, the official meal of Texas.
Yeah, we wanted to give them an authentic experience without being too annoying about it, obviously.
Maybe we were annoying.
he's very proud of being Austrian. Yes. I think there's something good in being proud. I want all people wherever they live to be, pleased from where they are.
Yeah.
And proud of it and make it as good as they can. So anyway, yeah, we served them Texas chili, tamales, chicken boot scootin'.
Yep. Honky tonkin'. Willie Nelson, all that. All right, anyway. We're getting off track.
We're having
too much fun with margaritas and stuff like that.
We're going to go have some Mexican for lunch.
Yeah, we might have to. Well, today's Friday, so no.
Cheese enchiladas.
Exactly. Okay, so that's the 12th. December 13th is St. Lucy. This is in old days, in the old universities of Europe, this was the day of reprieve and kind of the end of the semester, St. Lucy. Mm-hmm. We already covered Gaudete Sunday, which is a real highlight for us in the year. But the next one is kind of interesting. It's December 21st. When we were Anglican, before we were Catholic, in the old Anglican calendar, which is based on the medieval calendar of England, Church of England, St. Thomas the Apostle was on December 21st. And it was our tradition back then as Anglicans. We knew St. Thomas, the apostle, was the apostle to India. Mm-hmm. So I think when I was in seminary, we would go with a group of people and we'd get Indian food. Was that the first time we did it? Or was it before then?
I distinctly remember doing it then.
Yeah.
I can't remember if we did it before then or not.
Right.
Probably, because that was really, you're like at Anglican seminary.
Yeah, let's go get Indian.
Let's get Indian. I mean, we've always loved Indian food, but that was actually kind of an excuse. Like, right. Let's go.
15 years ago, it was harder to find Indian. Now you can get Indian everywhere.
Yeah, now it's on Uber Eats. But before it was like, oh, there's an Indian place in town. Now we can go get it. Or we actually experimented with making a lot of Indian food back when we first were married.
Yeah.
So that's true.
So, Indian food. Now, here's the bummer. When we became Catholics, and our first exposure was the Novus Ordo, we're all excited. We get to December 21st. It's not there. In the Novus Ordo calendar, they moved the Feast of St. Thomas. I don't even know what it is in the Novus Ordo. But what was cool is when we started going to the traditional Latin Mass, we noticed that Thomas was on December 21st. So, what happened is the medieval date was always December 21st. The Anglicans still have it that way because they just followed the old English tradition. The traditional Latin Mass people still have December 21st. The Novus Ordo people, if you're Novus Ordo, you don't get Indian food during Advent. Sorry. This is another good reason.
It's one of those things you just have to integrate into your modern practice.
That's right.
Yeah, because that Indian food, it needs something a little different and cold. And also, I think it's really good for the immune system, all those spices.
I think it is.
If I'm feeling bad, we get Indian food because I'm pretty sure it heals everything.
Yeah.
So, it's one of our favorite traditions. Mm-hmm. So
that's December 21st. And then we get to Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, our older kids always want to go to midnight mass, but we have little kids. So we know that they're going to be up getting presents at 5, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So that's not going to work.
Already Christmas Day after getting up so early. And you're usually
so tired.
Where we usually, getting presents together until midnight at least.
Yeah.
And so we just have never figured out how to work in the midnight mass yet.
Yeah. Well, even if we did, one of us would have to stay home with the kids. And then
we
don't
have to tag team it.
And then we don't go to Christmas together on Christmas as a family.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
As our little ones get older, we stop having the Santa gift type things. It'll be easier. So a lot of y'all are there. We always talk to people who are like, our whole family was here at midnight mass. Yeah. It's amazing. Then we go home and rest and have a late brunch. And I think that's how you do it whenever you can. But with little kids, it's hard. You just do what you can.
So we go to mass on Christmas Day.
Yeah. We go. It's kind of rough sometimes. I mean, you have to kind of have everything ready so that you...
Yeah, like lay out the clothes.
Yeah, open presents, have fun, sip some coffee, grab a little bite, but then break early enough so that everyone goes and gets dressed. We go to mass.
Yeah, stop eating and then get to the... Because, we our kids are up at 5, 6 looking. We don't let them open any presents until after Mass.
Right. Well, they can open their stocking.
They can do their stocking, and if Santa leaves a gift there, those are unwrapped. We don't wrap those.
Yeah.
So they're already playing with a car, or they're, you know, getting their their new headphones or whatever, and they're kind of getting into those when we wake up early. But then they're playing with those, then we get ready, we head to Mass, and we get back from Mass, then our family, parents come over.
Yeah, then we
Joy and the twins, we start getting food going, all that.
You have to have most of your food. And Christmas is more of a simple food. I mean, the best you can, we usually have a good piece of meat, but that can be cooked within an hour or two, not like a turkey that takes hours.
Right.
We don't do turkey. We do like a beef.
Tell them what you do.
Well, we typically do just a beef tenderloin just because that's so quick.
What about the standing?
Yeah, you're right. I totally forgot we did that. No, we do a standing rib roast the last several years. And it's already seasoned and in the prey and ready to go. So we just pull it out of the
garlic in it.
Yeah, we pull it out of the
pepper.
Stick it in the oven. You know, the sides are pretty simple, green beans and potatoes and rolls. And so it's not like Thanksgiving where we cook all day and eat all day. That's the main thing. You know, we have something really good, but
we have a really large table in our dining room.
Yeah.
And then we have another table that we put onto that. We just have like a giant mead hall. I mean, it's just one really long room.
Yeah.
Everybody's sitting to get toasting, wine, champagne, mm-hmm. great food. One thing that we sometimes do, we always do on Thanksgiving and Christmas, is we go around the table and you have to say something you're thankful for, and it's the ABC game. So if Joy was mm-hmm. first, she would say, I'm thankful for apples, right? But that we wouldn't like, that's too cheesy. And then if the next person, you know, was my brother, he'd have to say, I'm thankful for my brother.
Brother Taylor.
Yeah. So it's a great way to kind of get a conversation and talk about what you're thankful for and get everyone on the table involved. So we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start opening gifts. We get everybody together. And
yeah, we kind of stage out gifts. We don't like do the, everyone rip everything open. We don't want that to be the emphasis. Then everyone kind of passes out and watches football the rest of the day. We kind of drag it out.
Yeah.
We try
to do it like, okay, Santa, now you open one.
Yeah. There's Santa stuff in the morning, Mass, meal, and then kind of in between while things are cooking, whether between dessert or something, let's do family presents. And then, so his sister comes by with her kids. Okay, now let's, exchange gifts with them or whatever. So we kind of try to make it last so they kind of take in what they got and really see and then give other people things. Yep. So yeah.
Say thank you.
It's a whole long day mm-hmm. process. We're usually pretty bee at the end. Mm-hmm. But it's fun. It's once a year,
Yeah. And then we have pies.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the pumpkin pie, the apple pie, the pecan pie.
And I always have to, Taylor has to have mincemeat pie. I know people were asking in the chat. Y'all do mince pies. If you're thinking about actual meat pies, but we do the mince meat, which is all the fruits and raisins and apples and currants, I think. I don't know. Like just so many different things. Dried fruits in there with all the spices. And so either I make one, which is unusual because it's more intense, but we have a store close by, a apple pie shop that I'll call up and ask, can you make a couple? Because we need one for each Thanksgiving and Christmas. Because it's a must-have for Taylor.
For me, the mincemeat pie is, I only have it that time of year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no one else really likes it that much.
No, it's pretty much your own. Yeah.
Other people eat a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little,
So I just kind of have like a little bit of it, and then usually by New Year's Day, it's gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got to try it. Don't knock it till you try it. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. It's dried fruit.
So someone
it's
was
like
just asking.
A pie version of every single kind of like Fig Newton.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, super savory and mm-hmm. like cinnamony and.
Oh, yeah. It's just.
So it's so intense, though. I think that's. You like intense flavor.
Okay. I'm intense.
Someone was asking, how do we do Santa? We already kind of mentioned that St. Nicholas Day, but that we do St. Nicholas Day to teach them about the real traditional historical Santa.
On December 6th.
And then he does bring something on Christmas Day that we leave in the stocking. And then like their Santa gift is just sitting there, you know, like a.
And the older kids know it's us.
Yeah, they help, which is awesome.
The little kids are still into the whole.
Like, I love it once you have teenage boys. You know, you would have been putting together whatever it was at midnight the night before. Now I'm like, okay, you guys, y'all go take it outside and put this together. And so, no, I mean, we keep that alive. Though they kind of, you know, we do it with a little twinkle in our eye. Just they know it's a little bit of a game.
Oh, but the there's older always kids, such I a fun. Them, I tell the older kids, you can't lie to the little kids. You have to. You have to play the game. So if they're like, if they say, how does Santa go all over the whole world in one night? You say, well, people have a lot of different ideas about that. And you just leave it at that. But we have, like I said, we have the icon of St. Nicholas that's in the living room by the hearth where we pray the rosary, where we light the Advent wreath. So he's looking down on us the whole time. Our kids all know that St. Nicholas is the saint. That he's in heaven. Yeah, he's don't think he's married to Mrs. Claus. We don't go in for all
I mean,
that.
We'll watch those movies on TV, you know. They love that Santa Claus that movie. But they know that's just a movie. It's totally fictional, you know. Like, you know.
So we emphasize the saint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We emphasize the saint. But he does bring a present, kind of. And then remember when Rose found out?
She cried.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing about raising your kids with so much like tradition and innocence. Like,
you put the presents out?
Yeah, we kind of figured by the time she was like 11, she knew. And we were kind of mentioning, oh, you know, and then something about Santa Claus. She was like
quivering lip.
What?
Yeah.
So you have to be careful not to drag it on too far.
Yeah.
But at the same time, not.
And I don't think you should lie to your kids.
No, no.
I think you just kind of play. It's like playing like a game. It's like. And people get after, like, you're lying to your kids, you know? It's like, well, if I have, like, a little play gun and I'm chasing my boys, or I got the gun, I'm going to shoot you, and we're, like, playing Cowboys and Indians or whatever, I'm not lying to them that I have a gun. I'm playing a game. It's called being a kid and having fun. And so that's how I see this. It's like, we're playing a game with them. I'm not going to go into, like, really exotic lies and be trickful, right? But it's kind of a fun game. And as they get older, usually, like, around 7, 8, 9
Yeah.
They're like, Dad, is Santa Claus real? And you're like, no. You know, that's how most of them like, are.
Well, we kind of say, you know, Santa Claus, you know, gave the money for the girl. You know, he had that tradition. Now we kind of help him out that way. Like,
yeah, remember Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, there were three girls. Their mom had died. The dad was raising them. They had no money. They were destitute. Depending on the story you read, the girls were going to have to basically be sold off into prostitution or some kind of human trafficking. And so Nicholas heard about it and he snuck in and he placed gold three times in the home so that the father would have a dowry and the girls could marry. And they all did. And on the third time, the dad stayed up and he caught St. Nicholas sneaking into the house to leave the gold. So this is the tradition of Nicholas sneaking in your house to leave a present. So
oh, someone asked about the antiphons. You know, we've never, it's a beautiful tradition. Mm-hmm. I remember Anglicans being really into that. That's a good idea.
The antiphons are the antiphons that are, I think, sung with the Magnificat in Catholic Vespers. I'm kind of just shooting off the hip there. But they begin on December 17th. Mm-hmm. And the first one is, I actually have them up here.
Okay.
O Sapientia, which is O Wisdom. And these are all titles for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
On December 18th, O Adonai, which is Hebrew, Lord, my Lord. The 19th, O Radix Jesse. That's O Root of Jesse, Radix Jesse. The 20th is O Clavis David, the Key of David.
Mm-hmm.
The 21st is O Oriens, which is O East, O Dayspring. 22nd is O Rex Gentium, O King of the Nations. And the 23rd is O Emmanuel. I mean, the cool thing about these is if you take the first letter of each one and you reverse it, you get Latin arrow cross. An arrow cross, it's C-R-A-S. Yeah. I'm not saying cross as in the cross, but arrow cross is I will be there tomorrow, meaning Christ.
Yeah.
He will be there tomorrow. So the night of the 24th. So that's a cool custom. If you sing O Come Emmanuel, all of them are in there, but they're kind of jumbled and
mm-hmm.
not totally there. So that's how we do Christmas. December 27th, at traditional churches, they do the blessing of the wine. You bring your wine to Mass, and the priest will bless all your wine. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Epiphany, they do the blessing of gold. You bring gold to Mass. Uh-huh. One thing we forgot that we didn't mention, this is a really important, probably the most important. When the children wake us up on December 25th, we all come out and we come together, and then everybody gets on their knees at the hearth. And on the hearth, we have a nativity scene. And the whole time it's been there, but there's been no Christ on it.
Right.
And now Jesus is suddenly there that morning. So the right. little kids think that St. Nicholas brings him every time, but he's there. And we all get on our knees and we sing, O Come All You Faithful, mm-hmm. Together aloud. And then when that's over, I pick up the baby Jesus and everybody lines up, usually according to age, and comes and kind of genuflex and kisses the baby Jesus. And then the next kid and the next kid and then all eight kids. And then joy in me. And then it's like, okay, you know, what was in your stocking, you know?
And then we try to do that before opening all the stockings and everything.
Right, yeah, that's like the day begins with everybody genuflecting to Jesus, kissing Jesus, singing the song. Mm-hmm. And then we go, and then also the end of the 25th, we actually didn't do it last year because we were so tired. But in previous years, once the kids are down,
real quick, did you mention how we light the white candle on the Advent wreath right after we... Anyway, go ahead.
Tell them that.
Oh, and then we light the last candle on the Advent wreath. We, you know, after we worship Jesus and sing, then we light the candle. And then what were you going to say at the end of the day?
So at the end of the day, this is more... Now that our kids are teenagers, it's not as easy. But when they were little kids, you know, they would be zonked out at like 7 o'clock p.m. Mm-hmm. They're like... They've just been eating and they were up early, up late, super excited, and they're zonked out. So, and then after everybody leaves and like everything's put away and everything, but there's still like some wrapping paper around, you know, mm-hmm. Joy and I would get on the couch, turn out all the lights and put on the Christmas tree, just the lights, and just sit there and drink a glass of wine or
just try to have a moment together. Just, it's been so much like, putting out like for just, the kids and for everything like, and just kind of sit there like, okay.
And you know where I got that idea?
Christmas.
The Christmas Story. Remember the movie, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out Kid movie? At the end, they're kind of, the mom and the dad are sitting on the couch with the lights out, with the tree on, just having like a moment.
Just
like,
have a moment.
I love you. Like,
yeah. And it can be, it's harder and harder when you have older kids to have those like moments. And it's fine if a couple of kids then come sit with us. But mm-hmm. yeah, just to the two of us soak it in a little bit and just.
Talk about the day.
Talk about that thing that happened, or who was really excited about, you know, mm-hmm. whatever they got. And pretty fun.
Well, good. So we have maybe another few minutes here. Let's take some.
Sorry, I've been looking at the chat so much. That's kind of distracting.
The chat is distracting. But it's good. It's good. So we're gonna take some questions. So if you have a question, leave it in the chat here. And then, here we go. Someone said.
When you put Christmas decorations up.
Yeah, here we go.
We kind of mentioned that.
We mentioned that already. So when do you start putting Christmas decorations up? So we put up winter decorations. So this might be, like, what's an example of winter decoration? Like maybe.
Just like garland, you know, kind of plain, like lighted garland. Or like we start the boys because they're on vacation. Like after Thanksgiving, we'll like. Start putting lights on the bushes outside or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's for Christmas, but it's kind of also neutral. It's not necessarily.
Yeah. It's not like Merry Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
What do you put on the front door? I'm trying to remember what you put on the front. You always have something on the front door.
Wreaths and.
Yeah, our wreath.
We always have like garlands and wreaths on the house.
Like a wreath is kind of Christmassy, but it's not per se Christmas. It's just sort of, you know, winterish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Joy always decorates the house with seasonal flowers, and, you know, during Lent, mm-hmm. she has like stick cross and kind of everything that kind of goes along. And, you know, in winter, there's not flowers growing. Yeah. You have greenery. And so you decorate the door or the dinner table with greenery. I don't think it's per se Christmas.
No.
It's just seasonal.
I mean, growing up, you know, our schools always had seasonal decoration, kind of punctuates mm-hmm. the time of the year. And I don't know why, I've just always done that. I think I always thought I loved it growing up, so let's keep it up, you know. So we always have Halloween or fall, you know, so then we put the lights out.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. I'll give this one a joy. What's your favorite part of the Christmas season? Now, A. Mendez, are you talking about Christmas season or Advent season? You got to be clear on that.
Well,
so Joy, you can pick Advent or Christmas season. What's your favorite?
Yeah, leading up to Christmas, that time, I really love St. Nicholas Day. It's like a little, you know, putting up the stockings and the new pajamas the kids get so excited about, and then we wear those, you know, all winter long. And usually we do some kind of concert with the kids. I want them mm-hmm. to know Christmas music, know it done well. And this year we're going to go on St. Nicholas Day, because that's when it was being offered on Friday this year, to see Handel's Messiah at a symphony orchestra area or place around here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love all of that stuff the most. I mean, Christmas is fun, but as a mom, you get kind of worn out by the end. And I love that, but I tend to be a little bit more just like so task oriented. It's not as much about soaking up the time. So, you know, actually, as a mom, you really are blessed, because you have so much intentional time with your kids, whether the kids you like start cooking food or making cookies or all of that. It becomes a good refresh as a mom too, to really seek out intentional times with your kids.
Yes. Yeah. All right. The next one is, do you have any traditions for Epiphany? Thank you and God bless. You remind me of my blonde mom, also mom of 8. Okay, cool. So any Epiphany traditions, dear?
Do we do an Epiphany tradition? I can't think of one, really.
No, I mean, we go to Mass and...
Yeah.
So the wise men, we don't do any gifts. I know some people do gifts on Epiphany.
Yeah, some people do gifts all the way out to Epiphany.
We've done a couple 12th night events with people before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But...
sometimes by then it's like, is it date night yet? a lot of people have parties for that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There is kind of a, I've noticed in like our parish, which is Latin Mass, there's kind of more of a renewed emphasis on Epiphany. Like, it doesn't get moved to a Sunday, it stays.
Mm-hmm.
And so people try to like respect the integrity of Epiphany,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. I think that's good. Ad Jesum per Mariam asks, do you watch Christmas movies during Advent or on Christmas Day? Any suggestions? One of our twin daughters, she already made a list.
Yeah.
It's very specific.
Yeah, we've never gotten into the Hallmark Christmas movies. Like,
yeah.
I just can't stomach them. But we have, like, you know, Home Alone.
Yeah, those kind of things.
Those kind of things. The kids want to see it at least once
right.
a year.
The Grinch.
They love The Grinch.
Yeah, The Grinch. For the older ones, Elf.
Yep.
Those kind of Santa
Claus movies, like, you know, every variation on a Christmas movie.
Some of them are pretty dumb.
Yeah, some of them are.
I really like, probably my favorite is The Christmas Story. And then even though Wonderful Life has some bad theology, like the little planets blinking and talking and Clarence and all that, it's still really good.
Our teenagers love those old movies.
Yeah.
They love those. So yeah, It's Wonderful mm-hmm. Life is, that's definitely a couple yeah. times a year.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. George Bailey. Sometimes we parents feel like George Bailey, where you're just like,
you can kind of relate
mad at
a
the
little
teacher
too much.
And mad at the cold and mad at your job and everything. And you just.
You, everyone has
off,
those seasons when everything like, happens
stop
together.
Bashing on the piano or whatever he says, you know?
Yeah.
Where you just basically. I wrote a blog post several years ago called GBS, George Bailey Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
How men especially, but I think all parents.
Oh, yeah, we all
have those moments where you're like, why do we have all these kids? You know, everything George Bailey says, we've all had these thoughts or even said them. So
mm-hmm. you just get pushed into a corner about something,
exactly.
you know, and you're not the best version of yourself. You
right.
know, but
right. So that's great. What about Elf on the Shelf? We've done Elf on the Shelf before.
Yeah, we did.
Kind
it
of a joke.
Bunch, yeah,
I mean,
we never. I'm
no,
not.
None of our kids think Elf on the Shelf is real. It's just sort of like, haha, now he's over there hanging off a wine bottle. Now he's on the fridge. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of the thing. If we wanted to get into it, the teenagers would have more
the
fun.
The teenagers are the ones that move it around, and he's like doing funny stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, we've never done it very.
we haven't done it in the last couple of years. It's kind of out now.
Yeah, several years since we've done it.
Yeah.
And I'm just not good about remembering to do something like that every day. So the kid, you know, right. Why is the elf still in the same place 5 days in a row?
Okay, this is a good question. We didn't cover it. This is from Kyle James. Do you personally make Advent penitential, more strict fasting? How would your children observe it? So I, this year, am going to do that. I'm going to, oops, got to turn your ringer off.
Sorry.
I'm going to make Advent more penitential. One thing we found is being parents of 8 kids, it's really hard to do that with kids. And I'm talking especially under 12.
Right, yeah.
Because they're growing. They don't always just do the 3 meals a day or you can't make them fast. It's very difficult with little kids and just getting their whole cycle and their schedule and their nap. So we don't usually impose penance on the kids. We just will take away like no TV.
Yeah, we'll do penance. No TV or something for a day or two or even weeks or months. But then just doing the Advent devotional every night, I think is what a 10 or 11 and under can really absorb, you know, and, you know, some kids might be a little bit more, able to offer up things mm-hmm. and understand it and be willing to, but yeah. I think just being good for a 30 to 45 minute devotional every night is a good start.
Yeah. So. And I'm going to be doing a Advent challenge video next week. Before Advent, kind of like how I did last year, I'm going to challenge people for certain things, especially going to the traditional Latin Mass like last year. So I will talk about that next week. This is kind of just more the family. But I think...
Sorry. I'm reading some chat too.
What's it saying?
Just to back to Epiphany. Got chalk on the home. I forgot about that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So Vala says, we pray and chalk our home door lintel with blessed chalk and put the year in the first... letter of the wise men. So that's a very traditional thing.
And we've done that.
Yeah.
Many times.
Last year we didn't do it because I'm trying to remember. We left Mass and then we went back and I sent, I think, one of our sons in to get the chalk and then they were out of chalk and then we went to another church again and they didn't have the chalk and we're just like, what's it take for a man to get some blessed chalk, you know? So we'll just chalk that up to a failure. All right, let's just do maybe one or two more.
Oh, yeah, we always have a birthday cake for Jesus.
Oh, yes, here we go. So Nadja Free says, Joy, we make a birthday cake for Jesus. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Always. I mean, we have a couple pies and then the cake. That's why, I mean, it's different from Thanksgiving because that's usually not a cake time.
Yep.
Christmas, always a cake. And sometimes we make it with, you know, I have like a crown template I've always used. Or, you know, if depending on how busy we are leading up to Christmas, we just pick up a wonderful cake and put some candles on it and sing to Jesus, celebrate the birth.
Okay. Oh, this will be our last question because we're out of time here, but this is Jacob S. How does Joy handle fast and abstinence while pregnant or nursing? I can answer that for you. Nothing.
you kind of need those calories.
Yeah.
Nursing, you know, especially even you go through times where everything's smooth, but then your baby has a growth spurt. You have to eat what your body tells you have to eat. So,
and the church says
also just nursing, being sleep deprived, offering that up for a purpose and to Jesus is a good, you know, a good thing to do. That, you know, don't do it begrudgingly. Don't get bitter at your husband. Don't get, you know, angry about, you know, because you'll be tired and so everybody else is to blame sometimes when you're tired. If you can turn those difficult moments into being, you know, happy and grace-filled and thankful to Jesus for your baby and for your family, I mean, I think that is the sacrifice that he wants from you because it's a really hard time on your body. So, and on your family
You got the hormones going.
You got hormones.
You're hungry. You need different kind of nutrients, different kind of foods, you know.
Yeah, for the
vitamins, mineral, you need that stuff. So I just,
Not helping you to deprive yourself of nutrients or the baby, or anybody else because you have to be strong. So you need to be mentally and physically strong. So you need to be taking your extra vitamins and taking your extra, you know, eat a steak every day if you can't, you know, something you really need to be because I've gone to where I'm like, you know, you kind of try to lose weight too fast or whatever, and then your body really just needs more. Yeah. So you have to do all things in the right time. So I think just what you're doing and you do it prayerfully is a beautiful thing enough. So.
And the church says if you're nursing or pregnant, you are not bound by any of the penitential rules. And I think that's very wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you need the good fats.
The mom needs the fat, the meat, the vegetables, the vitamins, the everything to build that. I just think like with Our Lady, if she was nursing our Lord fast and deprive him of nutrients. No, like
right.
Kids, babies don't drink water. They drink milk, and milk is full of healthy things. So,
and what is taken out of your, I mean, if you're, you know, barely have enough for yourself, it'll be taken from you to give to the baby, which is beautiful, but you need to also have some because right. you have to live to yeah. raise him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And be strong so. And youthful, especially, you know, if you're nursing a baby and then you have three or four other children running around the house, you got to keep up with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nurse the baby. I mean, so
mm-hmm.
good answer. Love it.
Good question.
All right. Let's see. One more. Tell me if you see a good one, babe. Here's a good one. How do you fast with blood sugar issues?
Yeah, that's...
It makes me very weak. Okay, so I'm one of those people.
Our family is full of those people. It's rough days.
Here's the secret. You got to eat nothing. If you have yourself like a donut hole in the morning and you try to fast, you are going to die. It's so hard.
And I've possibly kill somebody later
because your
blood
someone.
Sugar like just.
And I've talked to other people who have the same kind of thing with me. I'm like, look, for me, if it's Ash Wednesday, if I eat nothing all day and go to bed, I feel hungry, but I'm not miserable and like agitated and shaking.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a little bit of a snack, it makes me much worse. For me, it's all or nothing. So, you know, if I fast till 3 o'clock and then eat, I'm normal for the day. But if I had a little bit of something for breakfast and then I don't eat,
yeah,
how your am metabolism, I, babe?
No, it's just
it's bad.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just a little blood sugar difference. Mm-hmm.
It's if you're, especially if you're hypoglycemic, right? Which means you're low on the sugar. Once that food hits you, your insulin spikes. And then it's just looking. And
looking for the next.
And
then you crash. Your brain actually kind of starts shutting dying. Down. Like it. Yeah. And I think everybody has had that feeling, mm-hmm. but people are definitely more susceptible to mm-hmm. others than others. And so we have several in our family. So yeah, it's, eat a piece of fish or nothing or, you know, protein or nothing.
Yeah.
Don't try protein to get by on bread.
Yeah. Or anything sweet.
A spoon of butter would be better mm-hmm. or nothing.
Exactly. A spoon of butter is good, too. All right. Well, I think that's a good show, babe. That was good. If you like this, please hit the like button. We'd appreciate that. And there's four people who gave us thumb down. How rude. Not everybody loves it. Maybe they're upset that we put our tree up on Gaudete or something. They said, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, thanks for liking it, and please subscribe to the channel. And what else? Have a challenging Advent. I'll be back next week with a shorter video on challenges for Advent, both liturgical and penitential. I'll talk about a little bit more of the history of the Advent fast and the history of Advent. I'm just going to kind of do history and theology of Advent next week before Thanksgiving. And thanks for watching, and we'll close in our prayer. Oh, we should close with this. Let me put Our Lady on the screen here. If you don't, we mentioned this earlier, maybe it came in later. If you don't pray the rosary every day, Advent is the time to do it. This is where you put your training wheels on your bike and you learn how to do it. So when Advent's over, you take the training wheels off. So pray the rosary every day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. Our Lady of Fatima said, pray the rosary every single day. That's our job as lay people.
Mm-hmm.
So pray the rosary. Get your kids praying the rosary. Advent is the perfect time.
It is. I really think it's one of the most beautiful times to be Catholic. I think it's one of the best times to up your Catholic devotions, and especially with your family. And even though I sometimes look at it all year long, kind of like, oh, that's coming up quick. Mm-hmm. You know, am I ready for this? Because I'm, you know, you're juggling what you're doing right now. I'm always so excited. We always have a beautiful time with our family, but it takes a lot of thinking and planning. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just a year in advance planning, or what am I saying? A day in advance. No, I did have a friend who showed that she made a notification to herself to remind herself every like second week of November to get her Advent candles, because otherwise it pops up and you're like, shoot, I don't have my Advent candles. Yeah, I thought that was genius. Mm-hmm. And so like for a year ago, she made her notification to remind herself. But no, like just kind of make out the pattern of what exactly y'all want to see happen, to what to reinforce with your family, and just enjoy our Lord and your family.
Yep. Awesome. So pray the rosary, get close as a family, orient everything to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and have a very blessed Advent. Till next time, signing off. Godspeed.
Happy Advent.